Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Limited Q4 and FY 2021 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Q4 and FY 2021 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Gaurav Mathur, Managing Director, Mr. Abhay Baijal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajveer Singh, Vice President, Legal and Company Secretary, Mr. Anuj Jain, Assistant Vice President, Finance, and Mr. Ashish Srivastava, Assistant Vice President, Marketing. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made or discussed on the conference call today may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces. Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals does not undertake to update them. The statement in this regard is available for reference in the presentation. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. Mathur. I would now like to invite Mr. Mathur to share his views. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishab. Good day and a warm welcome to all of you participating on this call. As we are in a very difficult situation regarding COVID-19 in India, we sincerely hope that you and your families are safe and healthy and taking all precautions to prevent it from coming to you. I will begin with the performance of the company during the last quarter and then for the full year on a standalone basis. Overall, we are happy with our performance in Q4 financial year 2021. This is a lean quarter when two of our plants were under maintenance for some period. Having said that, our total income for the quarter stood at rupees 1,607 crore as against 1,998 crore in the corresponding quarter last year. The decrease is mainly attributed to lower sale volumes of marketed fertilizer and reduction in price of natural gas. EBITDA before exceptional items stood at rupees 301 crore compared to rupees 246 crore in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Profit after tax without considering one-time deferred tax credit stood at rupees 126 crore as against rupees 109 crore in the corresponding period last year. In FY21, total income stood at rupees 12,779 crore compared to rupees 12,385 crore in the previous year, registering a marginal increase. EBITDA before exceptional items stood at rupees 2,526 crore in comparison to rupees 2,082 crore in financial year 20. Profit after tax without considering one-time deferred tax credit was at rupees 1,286 crore as against rupees 880 crore in the previous year. In line with our dividend distribution policy, the Board of Directors recommended a final dividend of rupees 4.5 per equity share. After adding the interim dividend of rupees 3 per equity share paid earlier during the year, the total dividend payout is rupees 7.5 per equity share, which works out to rupees 312 crores. I will now delve into our product-wise performance. There was marginal increase in urea sales. We have registered strong growth in DAP, MOP and NPK fertilizers. We have crossed an important milestone of 5 million tons of fertilizer sales on an aggregate basis. As mentioned in the presentation, we have already started operations in five new states, that is Maharashtra, Gujarat, West Bengal, Telangana and Andhra Pradesh. Our performance in NPK has been good last year and we expect to do better in this product segment with the addition of these new territories. We are encouraged by the measures taken by the government towards reducing the subsidy burden on fertilizer companies. Our subsidy outstanding was substantially lower as on March 31, 2021 in comparison to last year, with no short-term borrowings and much better cash position. There is an exceptional item in the consolidated accounts, and I'd like to mention about that. CFCL and two other investors, namely NEA Indo-US and NEA FDI, have invested in preference share capital of CFCL Ventures Limited in different cities at different points of time. Whereas CFCL has also invested in ordinary shares of CVL with other minority investors, majority of the funds are invested through preference share capital and ordinary shares are very small. Preference shares are redeemable at the option of holders voting in majority. As per terms of redemption preferences, preference shares will be redeemed at issue price of fair market value, whichever is higher at the time of redemption. Further, these shares are also convertible into equity shares at predefined conversion ratio. As the holder of the instruments have right to ask for redemption as per the agreement, it is treated as liability under Ind AS and accordingly shown as long-term borrowings in the books of CVL. When CFCL does consolidation of CVL account in CFCL account, CFCL investment in preference shares gets eliminated against the long-term borrowings shown in the CVL books, and remaining part of preference shares invested by NEA Indo-US and NEA FDI recorded as long-term borrowings into CFCL consolidated books. In the present case, as one of the preference shareholder has renounced its claim towards preference shares, resulting into write-back of liability in CVL books, it has resulted in reduction of debt liability in CVL books and corresponding increase in profit. The same impact is there in the CFCL consolidated accounts, that the debt liability has reduced due to write-back of liability in the books of CVL. However, there is no impact in CFCL's standalone books. CFCL has already valued its investment in CVL based on its fair value of CVL. As there is no cash flow movement by renunciation of its right by a shareholder, there is no increase in fair value of its assets, hence no change in CFCL standalone books. Coming back to our existing business, I just want to mention that there are headwinds in the market on account of high procurement price of phosphatic fertilizers and the ability of the market to absorb these. On the positive side, the monsoon is expected to be normal. Hence, our outlook remains positive on the consumption front. We are actively looking to leverage our well-established presence in the fertilizer segment and improving financial metrics to expand our product portfolio to comprise a wider range of agri-inputs, micronutrients, and crop protection chemicals. With that, I would be happy, and we would be happy to now take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vedic Sarkar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, good afternoon and congrats on a good quarter. I hope you and yours are doing well. A couple of questions. There seems to have been some slowdown in the sale of complex fertilizers in April, given the confusion around pricing and our increased input costs. How do you see this progressing towards closure? And is there a risk of stockouts at the field level affecting the core kharif season?
Thank you, Vedic. Yes, there was a slowdown in April because of challenges on the price and availability. We don't expect a reduction in consumption in the field. As such, as I mentioned earlier, the monsoon is expected to be good, and DAP is a fertilizer which now the farmers are very sure about. So as such, we don't at this point of time expect any reduction. However, as we progress into the actual usage season, which commences in June, we will get a better idea.
Sure. No, because, you know, unless I'm looking at the wrong set of numbers, the industry as a whole, April did see material regrowth. So what you're suggesting, Mr. Mathur, is by the time we close June, it's possible to theoretically claw back these volumes, right?
Yes, I mean, April as such was low, but there was overall, there was stock, and there is the assessment that we have seen shows that it should pick up as we progress from May and June.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, see, events like these will be a fair occurrence, right? You know, given the sensitivity to food inflation and stuff like that. So, you know, how do we de-risk our growth aspirations, given these? And what is your growth aspiration in the non-regulated part of the business, mainly pesticides, biocides, and all adjacent areas?
Yeah. So, you know, as we've mentioned in our previous calls, over the last few years, our huge focus was on setting up and ensuring our Repansee plant, which is established now. Simultaneously, there was a lot of focus on DAP and traded products. Now we have clearly increased our attention on micronutrients and agrochemicals. We have grown pretty substantially in the last year that has gone by and have plans to grow at similar or even higher levels in the coming years. We have actually put in place a business manager to focus on agrochemicals and micronutrient segments with this objective.
Sure, that's helpful. And Mr. Bejana, you know, a question on the receivable period. In the current dispatch cycle of urea, is the government going back to the old multi-month cycle, or do you see a compression in the receivable cycle as things stand today?
No, I really don't see the most of our payments are made up to March second week as far as the previous year is concerned. Now, the current year, there are one or two challenges, but there are medical challenges inside the ministry in the sense that some people have fallen sick and so on. Otherwise, there's no shortage of funds. And I'm sure the moment the situation becomes okay, whatever is there in the POS machines which have been registered as sales to farmers, and we have been raising bills continuously, by the way. So, and they are being raised and so on. But if the question of payment comes, there are sometimes difficulties in the sense that there are medical emergencies inside the DOF itself. So I think that will get cleared up. There's no issue in terms of accumulation of subsidy.
That's helpful. And I'm assuming, you know, the drastic fall in power and fuel costs that we experienced in Q4 had to do with the partial shutdown we've taken, right? So starting Q1, should we assume your range of other expenditure to come down, I mean, to be in sync with what you've experienced in the past few quarters?
Yeah, you are right. The power and fuel expenditure are directly related to the gas consumption. And Mr. Mathur had mentioned that in the month of March, we were in under two shutdown, Gadepan 3 anyways and Gadepan 2. So both of them contributed to lower offtake of gas. Correspondingly, the purchase of raw materials, that side also comes down, and as well as in the power and fuel sector, in the other expenses, that will also come down.
Sure. And, you know, lastly, you know, given your growth aspirations in the non-regulated part of the business, would it be possible to call out the extent of EBIT in 21 that's accrued from agrochem, micronutrients, and other non-regulated businesses? I mean, just a broad range.
I think Mr. Mathur can answer that.
Baidik, as you know, we sort of look at the overall results, and we do not put out our results segment-wise. So I would leave it at that.
Sure, that's very general. I'll give that.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. You may come back in the question queue if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on, you know,
overall strong year and the significant transformation in the balance sheet that we've seen. I had actually three bookkeeping questions. One, if you could give us the closing inventory of traded goods on 31st March 2021. Second, the 120 crore CWIP that we see on the balance sheet, what's that about? And the third, if you could give us the pooled gas prices for financial year 2021 versus financial year 2020.
Thank you, sir. I'll request Abhay to take these questions.
I'll take the second question first. That is the 120 crore CWIP is kind of ongoing projects, replacements, maintenance, capex, and so on and so forth. So that is a feature given the fact that some of our plants are now having older vintage. So that will keep on going on. Insofar as the stock and other things are concerned in terms of tonnage, I will revert back to you. Or if Anuj, do you have the numbers, you can tell us what exactly is the stock position on urea as well as DAP and NPK.
Urea, it is around 1.3 lakh ton. DAP, it is... I mean, DAP, MOP, and NPK put together, it is about 1.5 lakh ton.
So, does that answer your question, sir?
I wanted the value as well.
The value that you can is, I think there is some kind of feedback.
Is that
on my side? No, it's all right now.
Yes.
Yeah, so in terms of value, if you see the total carried value of the inventory, how much is that, Anuj, in the book?
789 crores as at March 31, 2021.
And if you did the urea inventory, I would say that 120,000 tons would have been close to about 170 crores. So the balance has to be DAP and NPK, barring few other items of, you know, micronutrients and all that. So that's roughly the range.
Okay. And pool gas prices for FY20 versus FY21?
Anuj, can you...
Prices for last year, average was $8.79 per MMBTU. And in the current year, it is going in the range of around $11 per MMBTU.
No, no, I'm talking about the year that went by.
2021, that's what he's asking.
1920, I have to find out. 2021, it is $8.79 per MMBTU.
If I recall, it was, I think, a dollar higher. That'll learn something, but we'll have to check that and get back to you.
Sure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank on the inventory, traded goods inventory is 447 crores, Mr. President.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from Sundara Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my question is, you know, if you look at the, you know, cash position, the amount of debt that we have been able to, you know, reduce, you know, because of operational as well as the subsidy, it's been significantly higher than what one would have expected. Does it change your capital allocation strategy in the sense, what is the kind of capex that we would be looking for? And, you know, even among the, you know, say non-urea space or, you know, non-regulated space, how would this allocation be between, say, you know, micronutrients and, you know, others? If you can give some color on this.
Thanks, Sudarshan, for your question. So, yes, the debt has reduced significantly and made our balance sheet much more healthier. We have initiated our strategy process, and over the next 6 to 9 months, we expect to come out with where we would go for further investments.
That's it from my side, Ajanta.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Chitoda from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. So I have basically two questions. First of all, I think partially you have answered it in terms of the future plans. So as we, I think, discussed in the past one or two quarters, so what's your sense now in terms of, you know, organic plus inorganic growth plans since we have like kind of a much stronger balance sheet now? So initially we talk about, you know, setting up the non-urea plant in Morocco or, you know, some of the other initiatives we talked about. So what's the state of as of now on that side?
Sudarshan, like we mentioned in the past, we are, you know, apart from our expansion into new geographies, etc., we have initiated the strategy process and we are looking at various options. To start with, we are looking at options that are close to what we do. So we are looking, we have started to explore, and it's very early days, like I mentioned. We have started to explore areas related to agrochemicals, other products that we can make from the excess ammonia that we have at our Gadepan site. And of course, we continue to look at possibilities on the phosphatics and NPK side. Now, as I mentioned, these are all things that, as you know, have started to happen once the whole subsidy situation changed. So it will take us, you know, like 6 to 9 months to really evaluate these and come out with something which is the right thing to do going forward.
Okay. Thanks for that. And my related question is about, you know, what is your sense in terms of the outlook for, you know, coming quarters, especially as mentioned in that, you know, the prices, MRPs have gone up. Definitely it is going to, you know, help Chambal to some extent considering we have a larger presence in the urea side. But do you think that especially considering the higher MRPs, do we see some sort of a volume degrowth? Although in terms of the revenue side, it won't be having a much impact. But what's the sense in terms of the volume growth?
So, Sudarshan, it is a little bit early to exactly say, like I said in my opening statement, it is a bit early to say what exactly will happen once the farmers actually start using DAP. What we do know is that DAP is a very essential fertilizer that the farmers are very, very sort of clear about, and they use it at the time of basal growth, etc. So the kharif usage will really start from June. We also know that the monsoon prediction is again a normal monsoon, which is good. The procurement by the government is going on fine. The headwinds are really on the procurement price of the phosphatic fertilizers, which prices have really, really gone up tremendously. So we just have to now see how this pans out. I don't think at this point of time it is possible for anyone to exactly predict. But all we can say is that, at, you know, the DAP usage should be reasonable. And there was a lot of depletion of stocks in the channel also last year. So considering that, the good monsoons, we expect the DAP usage to be quite reasonable. And we will then wait to see what the government does on the subsidy front, which will also have an impact going forward.
Okay. So I just want to squeeze one more question to Mr. Baijal, sir. Sir, last time you talked about the policy for Gadepan 3, as we know that it is going to expire within 8 years, so probably by FY27 or so. So is there any development on that side? What kind of, you know, the environment we can see after 27?
Yeah, so Deepak, it is too far in the future. And the government is at the moment focused on getting its balance plants together. You know, they put 3 HURL, one of Ramgundam. At the moment, their focus is completely on getting them off the ground. Moreover, they have also, you know, announced a special policy for culture coal-based plant. So the understanding that I have is that they are looking at boosting indigenous production. Because they think that the growth path of urea is going to be high with more irrigation and more forward-looking agricultural policies, which will act as a draw for, you know, more production and export of material. So the sense that I get sometimes talking to them is that, A, this is too far in the future and they are not looking at it that way. Secondly, they are clearly concerned that we don't want so much dependence on imports for urea production. And they feel that there is going to be a quantum growth in the consumption of nutrients as it is because of the policies of food, you know, processing and boosting agriculture, which they think is one of the growth engines of the economy. So, I can't say what exactly shape or form it will take. It's just too far in the future. But whatever I see today is more or less that it is helpful that they look at boosting this sector.
Sure, sir. Thanks, sir. And all the best for FY22.
Thank you. Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant only. You may come back in the question queue if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Prateek Tolia from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers on the operational front as well as on the balance sheet side. Sir, actually, first request is that if Mr. Mathur can just, repeat what he said on the preference shares, because of that time the line had got muted, so we could not hear anything. Many of us were unable to understand. So if you can just repeat what you had said on the preference share side, sir.
Thank you, Prateek. Maybe I can ask Abhay to explain that to you.
Yeah.
Prateek, it is like this, that we had a subsidiary for software, which was all the businesses of software were gathered into that particular subsidiary, which was in Cayman Islands, below which there were two operating companies, one in US and one in India. Now the investment which was funneled to these two companies, operating companies, came through this holding company where we were participants along with two other private equity, which was NEA of California and one NEA Indo-US, which was headed by Vinod Dam at that point of time. Now, these people had jointly invested along with us into that particular firm, and these were in the form primarily of preference shares in various series, B, C, D, E, F, stretching up to, I think, J or K. Now, in these shares, the rights were, in the sense, it was a claimable right, I mean, they could ask for redemption. When you ask for redemption and an instrument has the right for redemption, then in under Indian accounting, Ind AS laws, we were to treat it as a debt. Therefore, in the balance sheet, when we were consolidating, we were always showing this as debt. And when, after all these things that happened in the software division, we had losses, we wrote it down, and then ultimately sometime in 1920, we sold off that business. And only a residue remained in terms of these two companies, three companies. One, the top company is in the CVL, which is Chambal Ventures. Below that were these two operating companies. So this basically it was an asset sale both in India and US. So those businesses stopped operating. On or about December 2020, NEA India Indo-US came and wrote to us that they are no longer interested in claiming back these particular redemption, redeemable preference shares, and they give up their rights, all title rights and the right to dividend and all that from these particular shares. So technically, it became a case in which the company had a remission of liability. I'm talking of a company, Chambal, CVL, which is in Cayman. Now, when you have a remission of liability, that means you are writing off that portion of the debt of the company, you will have to substitute it with equity. If you have to substitute equity, otherwise the balance sheet will go out of balance. So when you do that, you routed it, the entry, by way of the profit and loss account, and you therefore took an exceptional income of 337 in the CVL books. And as a result of consolidation, they came into the consolidated books. As far as we are concerned in standalone, we have already taken the impact of that by writing down the value. Therefore, there was no impact in the standalone because we have not changed the valuation. As far as the books of CVL are concerned, there was a kind of a profit through the exceptional item, and there was a readjustment between the net worth and the loan side, or what I would say the debt side in the books of CVL. So this is basically what has happened pursuant to their renunciation of rights on these particular instruments. I hope you have been able to understand.
Yes, sir, very helpful, sir. Thanks for detailed explanation. Just secondly, sir, on the demand side, just continuing from the previous thing, sir, we've also got into some of the newer geographies. So my question is basically, sir, where we've already done, sir, close to 1.7 million tons of non-urea in FY21. So how much can we grow from here on the back of our existing geographies, and how much can come from the newer geographies? Because already the incumbents are there and some of them are really big. So what is your view in terms of, growth from the newer geographies that you've now, opened offices into, which is basically Gujarat, Maharashtra, AP, Telangana?
That's a very good question, Prateek. So, we have just started to make the foray into the new geographies. Now, when we talk of the new geographies, bear in mind that we were earlier present in Maharashtra, West Bengal, and to some extent in Gujarat also. So we do have some experience there. And like you say, there are very strong, big players also currently operating over there. So we, at the same time, Chambal brings its strength of the brand that we carry, the quality that we bring to the market, as well as the transparency and the way that we deal in the market. So we have set ourselves some nice targets. I think it's a little bit premature, but we would think that over a period of time, we would look to capture from 5 to 10% share in those markets. How soon that will happen, et cetera, that we will learn as we go along. So that's, I think, what I can say at this point in time. Once we start to experience that market over the next 1 year, we will have probably a better view on that.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. And so just lastly, this 1,100 crores of subsidy that is outstanding, that is purely, like Baijit sir mentioned, it's lying with DOF, or there is some POS acknowledgement also pending?
Yeah, around... So
are you talking about the... year-end subsidy, yeah, of 1,100 crores?
Yes, sir.
So it is comprising of three parts. One part is the material which is lying in the POS, which is unbilled with the government. So technically it is not pending with the government. It is an accounting that we do, that in the first point when we sell the material, we raise it as market debtors or subsidy debtors, as the case may be. Now, since the process of having been sold through POS has not happened, that part, once it goes through the, when it goes through the POS, then the bills will be actually raised and the money will be realized. That is one part. The second part is freight and other certain non-DPT items, which are matter of course. And the third part is adjustments to the value of the subsidy due to fluctuations in foreign exchange and gas prices, which is called escalation and de-escalation. So that is the third part which gets. So these are the three parts which comprise of the 1,100 crores that you are saying. But I can say the major part of this is that part which is still to go through POS machine and actually get billed. Does that clarify?
Outstanding for you.
Does that clarify?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. I just had two. One is on the demand part. I just want to understand, you know, because of the COVID second wave, which we are hearing about, is, you know, impacting even in rural hinterland. Are we seeing any change in demand cycle or in terms of placement cycle than what typically we have seen, you know, in a normal season? And second is in terms of the CapEx plans or the growth plans which we have. So, you know, you said that, you know, in the next 6 to 9 months, we will be evaluating, you know, investments probably in non-urea sectors. How much of the incremental or the total capital plans we will be looking to kind of, you know, spend towards, say, urea versus non-urea, indicatively, not exact?
So thank you, Viraj. With regard to the demand, you know, we, and I think your question was, if I understood correctly, focused on the impact of COVID on the demand side. Is that right?
Yeah, just trying to understand, is there any impact on demand or any change in the placement cycle than, you know, either in the fertilizers or feed, you know, because that's the only, really the only part of the value chain.
Right. So, you know, we had seen the COVID situation first time around last year, and the company, as well as with strong support from the government in central plus all the states, there was virtually no impact on the fertilizer and agriculture sector, as you can see from the outcome, where India has had a record production last year. Similarly, till now, in spite of all the COVID-related challenges, we don't see any major impact on the fertilizer or agriculture sector. We might have a few niggles here and there in terms of some minor delays in the rakes being handled, etc. But as such, it is not of any significance. In terms of the growth, your question was CapEx towards urea, non-urea. I think, again, all these questions will be sort of looked at as we progress. As of now, we don't see any opportunity on the urea investment. We built our plant, Gadepan III. And I think Ajay mentioned earlier that we have two older plants. So there we will put in CapEx that is required either for sustenance or for improving our energy efficiency. But I don't see any major investment in that area as of now. And the other segment, as I said, we will develop over the next month. And as and when we have something concrete to communicate, we will definitely come back to you.
Okay. Just a follow-up on this. You know, the government also kind of indicated that they will be looking at divestments of certain state or national, you know, fertilizer companies. So would we be kind of be interested in taking an inorganic route, you know, towards, you know, building a presence either outside of core areas when it comes to urea? I'm asking this because traditionally our approach has been more organic and, you know, and our key strength has been, you know, having one of the best energy efficiency in the industry. And this is also one of the reasons why we have such a lean operating cost structure. So any thoughts on that? And second, on just a related question to that is, you know, when you're looking at non-urea, say, crop protection chemicals or, and related, internally, what a, you know, factors we will be looking at before deciding any, you know, big CapEx or pursuing any inorganic opportunity? Because that is an area which we don't have a strong position yet, or we don't have a major expertise yet. So just trying to understand.
Okay. So, you know, as regards the divestment plans of the Government of India on public sector units, what we've seen is, for example, NSL, where the government has put out an offer for sale for 20%, and any single player can bid for up to 25% of that, so which means 5% each player. Beyond that, we do not have any further information, and the government is, I think, in the process of appointing and going ahead with that process. So as and when something comes out in a formal document, we will then consider that and take an appropriate call on that basis. As such, you know, it's difficult to say at this point in time how the government will exactly proceed in this. As right now, they just offered this 20% OFS. On the second question of investment on crop care and so on, again, I go back to what I said. These are all considerations that we will look at as we progress on our strategy development. And rest assured that if it is felt that these are sectors where we do want to do something substantive, then we will look to build our capability. I think that's something else you mentioned. We do sell a pretty reasonable quantity of crop protection products even currently. So we do have some in-house knowledge. And as I mentioned earlier, we've just appointed a business manager whom we've hired from a reputed agrochemical company to lead our and to improve our focus and lead our growth in the agrochemicals and micronutrient sector.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Trilok Agarwal from Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So, you know, again, to harp on the question that most of the, you know, participants are focusing on for the next growth opportunity. So, in the previous call, you know, we had kind of stated that you guys are also considering expansion in urea so taking over some PSU units. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that particular aspect.
Hi, Trilok, thank you. I think I mentioned just previously that the government has NFL, National Fertilizer Limited, there's an offer for sale which the government wants to proceed with. As and when something substantive comes out in terms of a document and so on and so forth, then we will examine it.
So, is it fair to understand that Chambal Fertilizer is open to acquiring these assets and, you know, run it efficiently going forward?
So, look, I don't think I'm in a position to make any comment.
The reason I'm harping on this, you know, because you are known, I mean, as a company, it's known for, you know, building own plants than actually acquiring, and you. So that's the whole context I was trying to understand. But I think I've got my answer. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Trilok.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Thakkar from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in your opening comments, you did mention about, you know, rising phosphoric acid prices and the inability of the farmers to absorb them. So in this context, how long can you think your competitors or you also can continue to sell at current MRPs? And if possible, do you feel that there is a possibility of the government letting you to pass the prices?
So, Ashish, thank you. You know, first of all, the MRPs, if you see, have risen. So if you go back to early quarter four of the financial year, last financial year, the MRPs were of around in the range of 24,000 rupees per metric ton. Currently, the MRP is 38,000 rupees a metric ton. So the MRPs have gone up substantially because the entire industry is in the same boat. As regards the question on subsidy, I cannot predict what view the government will take. All I could say is that the government will have to consider at what price point they feel comfortable that DAP should be supplied to the farmers, and accordingly they may work something out. But other than that, it's difficult for me to second guess what the government will come out with.
Yeah, this is fair enough. So this one question on the next level of DBT. You know, there have been a lot of media articles talking about 42,000 crore of rupees being directly transferred to the farmer's account, and also the fact that some of the farm laws the government may totally bury down. Would you like to give some color on the possibility of a next level of DBT rollout?
Well,
Actually, this discussion on next level of DBP rollout has been, I think, going on for some time. And to my knowledge, the government is grappling with some fundamental questions. For example, how do you define a farmer? Who should get that, direct benefit transfer with regard to, urea, for example? How do you consider the acreages of each farmer? Because there are various concepts over there. So there's still a lot of work, I guess, which is going on in that direction. Again, it's difficult for me to say at this point in time what exactly the government will do and at what kind of time frame. What we do know is that if that happens, then it is obviously overall good for a high efficiency producer and a strong player in the market like Chambal.
Yeah, this is fair enough. Just one last question from my side on the contract manufacturing side. Since you said on the AgChem side, you'd probably try to put your hands on. So would it be like normal domestic products, or you feel there is also some thought going on as far as this contract manufacturing services part of the business is concerned?
Too early for me to answer that question, Ashish. Right. These are all things that will come up as we start to debate the strategy and what we need to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is very helpful. Sir, one last question, if I just put it out. Is it possible for you guys to provide a sensitivity as to, with a 10% rise in the prices of the gases, what kind of impact does it have on your margins?
Maybe, Abhay, you can answer that.
Generally positive. See, we have three plants. Two have a separate policy. Third plant is sensitive to gas prices also. All of them are sensitive to gas prices. But on the flip side, there is also a increase in the cost of, interest because of the rise in subsidy that would entail in urea. So it's a balance. Currently, because of low subsidy receivables, this year at least it will be a positive.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on this DAP import size, just want to get some sense about a couple of years back. I mean, DAP price went up and all lot of people imported and DAP, and then all of a sudden, I mean, after say 2-3 quarters, I mean, price dip and people are sitting on the inventory or already booked, I mean, or inventory in the pipeline, a transship had to bear a large amount of loss. Now, again, this DAP prices all of a sudden in last 3-4 months has shoot up. So how do we want really view and what is our risk mitigation strategy is in place?
Thank you, Bharat, for that question. So, yeah, so we have a very strong internal mechanism of tracking what's happening in the global markets where DAP is being consumed. We keep a very close eye on how what's happening on the big suppliers, what's happening on the demand, for example, in the US, in Brazil, in other parts of the world which are consuming DAP. We are also very careful about not, booking material too much in advance, right? And, really looking at only a couple of months ahead so that we don't buy material at a higher price in a market which could start to go down, right? So it's a balance that has been achieved over a number of years of experience and strong internal processes. Which is why, at any point of time, for example, even currently, we're not sitting on any high levels of stock. At the same time, we are getting enough supplies to meet our, sales and volume targets that we have. But we are very careful about building up stock in this kind of a situation.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And sir, so how do you view, now this DAP price over the next 1 year? when we are studying all this, I mean, different market consuming, and all of a sudden, I mean, Brazil, US, everyone has increased the consumption. So how do one really view from 1 year and medium term perspective?
If I knew the answer to that question, Bharat, then I would, we would be in a, you know, I would become a very, very rich man, I would say. So, no, it's difficult to...
Trend, I mean, if you can give, I mean...
Look, that was on a lighter note, but, you know, we were, the general view was that we might expect some stabilization or reduction towards end of quarter two this year. However, again, recently there has been, you know, some pickup of demand in the US again, right? So these things are very dynamic. Overall, there is a very thin demand and supply balance on DAP, right? And therefore, if the demand goes up substantially for short periods of time, then that creates a supply challenge.
Okay, thank you very much.
At the same time, what I do want to mention is that we have suppliers with whom we have MOUs and contracts, so we don't expect availability for us to be an issue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind participants, due to time constraint, please limit your question to two per participant only. The next question is from the line of Varshish Shah from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers as well as a great one balance sheet. So my question is on the crop protection side. So I just wanted to know whether we are primarily focusing on the B2C element in the segment or B2B as well. That's my first question and I'll follow up on that.
So thank you, Varshit. So we are right now, we are selling into the channel, but really more of B2C. As we look to develop our strategy, we will look at all of those aspects. But as of now, at the current state of the company is essentially B2C through the channel that we have.
Sure. And my follow-up question is that if you see a B2C universe, I mean, a lot of these companies have taken years to just reach at a 2,000 crore revenue mark. And even if, let's say, Chambal achieved that 2,000 crore revenue in the crop protection in the B2C, or maybe some combination of B2B as well as a 15-17% margin, it is still maybe, you know, less than 15% of overall EBITDA. So actually primary growth engine has to come from non-urea fertilizers because CPC might grow, crop protection might grow on its own very fast, but to deliver a growth at size at which you are, I think you still have to focus more on the non-urea fertilizer. Is that the understanding correct? From moving the needle perspective.
So, Varshit, our focus on non-urea fertilizer has no link per se to what we want to do in the crop protection. So there we will continue to grow. We, and this is public information, we, for example, in DAP last year, we had about 18% market share by volume, and we would like to grow that. So that is, there is no doubt about it. We are expanding into new geographies, so we do want to become a pan-India company, and also, like I mentioned earlier, achieve market share in those geographies. As far as the crop protection segment is concerned, yeah, I mean, we will see how to go about there. If that is a thing, if that is an area that we find as part of a strategy process that we want to put substantial amount of effort and investment into. But those are the questions, again, I say that come up as part of the strategy development.
Sure. And one last thing. So as you have entering into new geographies, especially in the non-urea fertilizer space, what has been one or two key learnings and which you have tweaked in your go-to-market strategy? Thank you.
Varshit, we've just entered there. It's too early. Maybe we'll have some learnings in a few months' time.
Sure, all the best.
Thank you so much.
The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. I understand. In one of the previous questions, you mentioned that you are not giving very specific breakup between urea and non-urea. But could you give us some sense as to, you know, is the non-urea now contributing some reasonable way to the profitability? Or while there's a good mix in terms of revenue because it's mainly traded, the contribution to profitability is very less. That is first. And the second part of that question is that over the next 3 to 5 years, how do you want to see the urea versus non-urea profitability mix? As a management, would you like to reduce the dependence significantly on urea?
So, simply to answer, we do have a substantial contribution in our profits from the new non-urea segment. As to the second question, yes, the urea segment is in a way fixed. I think probably most of you would understand that we sell as much urea as we can produce, and there is a government formula on the contribution, etc. So that in a way is fixed. On the other hand, our traded portfolio is something that we really want to continue to expand and increase our market share in. So by that simple logic, we would expect the proportion of our non-urea fertilizer portfolio to increase over the next 3-5 years.
Sure. And sir, will you be in a position to share us that today the non-urea is taking substantial part of your capital employed, or it's a very asset-light model as of now for you?
So there is no fixed asset. It's essentially the working capital which is employed in the non-urea.
Any sense you can give us on what type of, like a 150-day cycle, 130-day cycle average on an average?
Abhay, would you?
Yeah, it is between 130, 140 days. It's longer in terms of MOP, so but DAP is fairly tight. So on an average, we can say, taking DAP, MOP, etc. into account. NPK is too young for us to, not too many, too much volume there. So DAP, between DAP and MOP, we would say it's about 140 plus days.
Sure, sir. My second question is regarding the return on capital employed. We have seen a significant and continuous improvement in the last 2 years. So are we now more or less at the peak ROC and ROE the current business model can deliver? Or do you think that over the next 2-3 years, over the type of finish that we are taking, probably you see or you plan to maybe, you know, at least improve it further from here?
Well, Sachin, that all will depend on our growth strategy. So I don't think it's a little difficult to specifically answer that question right now. And there are many, many variables in that question as of now.
Sure. Let me rephrase it, sir. As a management, are you now happy with where you are, or your aspiration would at least be to try and improve further from here?
I think it would be fair of me to say that no management should be happy with where they are.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi sir, good afternoon and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. Mr. Mathur, I also congratulate you for taking over as the MD of the company and wish you luck in future.
Thank you, Rohan.
Sir, a couple of questions from my side. The first is on this, sorry, but I'm just harping on the issue of DAP pricing side. So now we are very close to the consumption season. Half of the May is already over, and I think that we need to push the inventories in the market just after 15 days. Given sir, our trading platform and trading business, we need to probably procure the material now. And I think that the government has still not given the clearance that how they want to go ahead with the pricing of DAP in the market. I think that most of the companies are still discussing or in the discussion with the government. So how what is your strategy, sir, in the current scenario, whether you are building up the inventories, and what is your belief that whether the government will allow the increased prices of DAP, or if not, then how the DAP issue is going to be tackled in the market, sir?
So in terms of our availability of DAP, as I mentioned to an answer to another question, we do not see any issues in availability of DAP for us. We have contracts with very, very big reputed manufacturers, so we do not see any issue on that aspect. As regards the pricing, DAP is as such not, the pricing is not controlled by the government, the subsidy is. Right? At the same time, the pricing is really led by IFCO. But all players, whether they are local players who manufacture, whether they are players who manufacture DAP or they are players who import DAP, are by and large in the same position. Right? Those who manufacture DAP from phos acid would be exactly almost in the same position as importers, and those who manufacture from rock, which is maybe 20% or thereabouts of the overall DAP consumption, would have some advantage, but overall, there is a very significant chunk which is either imported or made from phos acid. So 60%+ of DAP is imported. Why I'm mentioning all this is that the price in the market is something that will be pretty similar for the industry. The government has to take a call as to what kind of price they want the farmer to get the DAP at, basis which they probably can decide on whatever subsidy they want to have. Does that answer your question, Juan?
Yes, sir. That's slightly. Just, I understand the DAP pricing is free in the market, but my issue was more that almost a month back when one leading player wanted to increase the prices of DAP in the market, and the government has asked them to roll it back, and not only for that player, but for the entire industry. I think that the issue is still hanging on, and the companies are still not allowed to increase the prices to pass on the rising input cost of phos acid or DAP. So that was my issue was, I think that there is,
Ryan, that's not the case. You know, the MRPs are now already at 38,000 rupees a ton.
Okay, so you are saying that our DAP prices in the market, sir, if you can just give some realization, what is the printed prices right now we are selling in the market?
Sorry, I couldn't hear your question.
So, sir, I was... So you are saying that DAP MR, the realization or the printed price is already at 38,000 rupees per ton to the farmer?
Yes, we are selling DAP at 38,000 rupees a metric ton.
Okay. And sir, if you can get some, give some sense that what is the DAP import prices right now in dollar ton? What are the most, what are the contractual prices now, sir?
Currently, the price is around... I think what has been published and what is known is around the $560 a metric ton.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Vyas from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon and congratulations for a good set of numbers. I also
good afternoon. Thank you.
The family and colleagues are safe in this environment. I have actually a couple of questions. First one is on Himachal where we have stake. So essentially, given the sharp increase in the phos acid prices, you can just talk about how you see the outlook there, the cash generation from that particular plant, how you plan to utilize it. That's first question.
So Himachal, as you know, we have a one-third stake in Himachal. One-third is with Tata Chemicals and one-third is with OCP, right? So... I presume, I cannot speak on behalf of Himachal, that's a separate board and separately run company. I presume that with rise in phos acid prices, there should be some upward trend in the margins. And hopefully we will see some positive impact of that in our dividends. At the same time, the Himachal board will look at where it wants to invest its money. Does it want to invest? Does it want to give dividends? So ultimately, it's up to the board of an asset.
Yeah, that's helpful. Mr. Bajan, can you highlight, have you accounted for any dividends from Himachal in last fiscal? How much was it?
No, I think the total dividend that we received in the previous year was of the order of 25 crores. And that was received, I think, in the second quarter. Correct me if I'm wrong, Anuj, the second quarter last year. Or first quarter. And that is about it. As far as the current year's dividend is concerned, I think there's a general assembly, what they call a, what we call a AGM, that is due to be held very soon. The board will, the, whatever the board has recommended in terms of dividend will get confirmed, and then we should be receiving that dividend.
That's helpful. And my second very quick question is on the plant maintenance for fiscal 22. So I believe Gadepan 3, we still haven't got the approval for producing beyond capacity, so that definitely will go for another plant maintenance probably in month of March. But from the other two plants, is anything also planned and in which quarter?
So Rohan, yes, Gadepan 3 will probably go under shutdown because of the policy, and we have planned for our shutdown for Gadepan 1, which should happen sometimes in March 22.
March 22. So both of them again in March, essentially both plants in March 22, like we had this time we could be Gadepan 1 instead of 2.
That's right.
Great. Thank you so much, and best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praful Kumar from Dimin Asia. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity and many congratulations for the new role. So just one broad question over a 3-year period to a 5-year period in terms of strategy. You know, you did mention that non-urea, micronutrients and agrochemicals. Given your very strong, you know, pedigree and background in chemicals, Teva and, you know, paints earlier, in terms of vision for the company for next 3-5 years, can you just draw a broader outlook at least, you know how big these opportunities can be, what do you intend to do on the ROC basis in 3 years, where do you want to take the mix and ROCs for the company?
Thank you, Praful. I think what we want to first focus on is to explore our adjacencies, right? It's very important for companies to remain focused and not necessarily venture into areas which may look attractive from far, but where the company may not have any core competency, right? So our first focus is to explore our adjacencies, so which I mentioned, areas like crop protection, etc. And then if we see that there are any very big opportunities, that may come as a second thing, if at all. But for now, we want to really focus on business segments which are linked to what we currently do and where we can leverage our core competencies.
Sure. Thanks a lot, sir. So maybe it would be useful, sir, whenever, you know, you have a broad outlook, maybe next 3 months, 6 months, please share with us in terms of direction, opportunity size, or some granular details. That will be very useful, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I mentioned, you know, these development of strategy in a considered manner, looking at opportunities, looking at our competencies does take some time.
Sure.
And we do want to get it right. So, and we will surely share it with all of you as and when we have something substantive.
Appreciate it, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of R. Hariharan from Arcus Resources. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a follow-up question on the crop protection business. Do you have an internal benchmark as to what proportion of your total revenue should come in from crop protection over, say, 3 to 5 years' time? That's one. Second is, have you invested in your own formulation plant, or would you be trading in all the crop protection products? Because quality is of paramount importance, and at some stage it would help the business if you have your own formulation plant. And also the business being very capital or cash flow intensive, what are the current debtors, number of days that is there in the business currently? Thank you.
So, Aryan, first of all, no. We have, as of now, not set ourselves any targets as to the proportion of business from crop protection. That is part of the strategy work that we have undertaken.
Second, whether we will put buy or build formulation units again, that will evolve as we work on the strategy. In terms of debtor days, I don't know the answer to that question. Whether Abhay or Anuj know, I'm not too sure about that.
I'll just butt in here. See, the debtor days have come down drastically. Basically, if you see the results of previous year balance sheet and this year balance sheet, you can figure out. And most of that has happened because...
Sorry to interrupt. I was specific to the crop protection business.
For this crop protection business, I don't think we have a cycle more than 90 days in any sense in when we are selling, because we sell mostly through our fertilizer channel, and I would say more than 95% of our sales go through our fertilizer channel, and that is a far more disciplined channel, and we normally manage to recover. The maximum that I have seen in terms of credit which has been extended by us is around 90 to 120 days, but we operate between 60 to 90 days most of the time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, sir. So, currently, as on March end, we had debt as well as cash of around 900 odd crores. And we have scheduled repayment of Gadepan 3 plant. I think that is the only loan which is outstanding right now. How should one look at the cash accumulation, whether we will prepay the loan or we will keep this loan as it is and keep building the cash for the next leg of capex which we are planning for?
So, Resham, very broadly put, any option to prepay the loan has to be looked at, looked versus how, what we can get out of that cash if we don't prepay the loan. And that's a call that we will take from time to time and act accordingly. I don't think we can have a standard answer for that. So yeah, that's what we will continue to examine. And if we feel that we can utilize the cash best by prepaying the loan, and we shall do so. At the same time, now with the reduction in our, our cost of long-term capital that we have for Gadepan 3 is very, very low. So it may not necessarily make sense for us to prepay the loan.
So in that case, actually your cash generation is anywhere between 1,700-1,800 odd crores per year, and you're already carrying a 900 crore cash. So your cash will keep depleting your ROCEs in a way. So just the context in that, are there, because last few quarters also you've highlighted about the plans on investing in your areas, and I understand these are large capexes. Need to be evaluated carefully. But any timelines which you have set, how are you going to utilize the cash balance if, let's say, if no large capex is not being finalized, because it will lead to a suboptimal return ratio.
So I'll just handle that.
Sure.
I'll just tell you, some part of our business is pretty seasonal. You must understand that for the past so many years, there was always accumulation of subsidy debtors towards the end of March. This year, the reverse has happened. We have had a huge accumulation and precisely before March. When you go into the cycle of building up stocks, so naturally you will draw upon working capital. So some of this cash will be used at some points of time during the course of the next 6-8 months to set off the borrowing itself, which may be possible due to the buildup of working capital. That is one part. But assuming that the government keeps giving us subsidy and there is adequacy of that, we will now start seeing a much better balance sheet at the end of the year, because if we are going to carry very little subsidy debtors, this position will keep repeating again and again. And as part of our cash accumulation or decumulation, that will, as Mr. Mathur very clearly said, that depends on the what is the relative cost of the debt or the cash or earning opportunity that arises out of that. Surely the company will be building up some cash reserves for the possible expansion that will happen or whatever they are talking about in terms of CapEx. It is now more or less given that we are going to go for some kind of expansion or whatever, but it's only a question of what we will be doing and when we will be doing. So this cash will come in handy. And we also have a dividend policy which says that so much of the profits will be given away. So cash will have these three main uses: A, to even out the fluctuations in working capital; B, to build up for any other project that may come up; and thirdly, to pay dividend. Does this answer your question?
The next question is from the line of Siddharth Mota from Principal India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, sir. So I have got one question, sir. Are we also open for any overseas strategic investment, the one that we have done for Amazon? And if the answer is yes, we are open, so then what are those areas?
Hi, Siddharth. It's too early to say anything, you know. All these questions, answers to all these questions will come out of the strategy work that we will do. So at this point of time, I can neither say yes nor say no.
Okay, sir. Best wishes for upcoming quarter.
Thank you.
Mr. Mota, does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Sir, you may please go ahead with your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Yeah, my questions have been already answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, for participating in this call and for your very, very good and incisive questions. I do hope that all of you are safe and under these difficult conditions, and I wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Chambal Fertilizers and Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.